When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where today we will not be talking about cricket. We will be talking instead about the man, the myth, the legend, the ex-all-format Indian captain, Virat Kohli, who this week shocked the cricket world by stepping down from his last job as Test captain. I am Jack Hope, and to go over all of this, I will be talking with Nakul Pandey. Nakul, how are you getting on?
Good, thank you, Jack. I've just about readjusted my body clock to the time zone of the country I'm actually living in after the Ashes.
Yeah,
the mashes, I should say.
it was a struggle. I mean, fortunately, England, because they lost in such quick time, there are actually fewer days that you had to sort of reverse jet lag yourself for. So, you know, silver linings if you are an England fan. Before we get into that, Nakul, where can people find you? We tend to do this at the end, but let's mix it up. Where can people find you and what are you up to so that we start with that?
Yeah, the main place to find me is on Twitter at Nakul M Pandey, also nakulpandey.com. And I've got a podcast series which I started late last year called Cricket Inside the Story with Nakul Pandey. The latest episode dropped today, actually, where I talked to Kasim Sheikh about the racism inquiry in Scottish cricket, and you can find that at the website or on iTunes and Spotify and lots of other podcast places.
Good stuff. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. The Cricket Podcast, you can find us on Twitter as well, at The Cricket Pod, and Patreon. We've got a whole revamped Patreon site at the moment, so patreon.com/thecricketpod. Go and take a look there, and if you like what you see, support us. Nakul, let's jump right in to the Virat Kohli situation, and I'm going to ask first up, what was your initial reaction to how things unfolded? Because to me, it came a little bit like a bolt from the blue.
Yeah, my initial reaction was oh, I think that was almost literally my initial reaction when I saw the news while trying to do some other work, and it did come as a surprise. And my initial tweet that I put out said as much. But at the same time, the more you stop to think about it, it wasn't unforeseeable. Being a captain of any international team is not generally a long term gig. And Virat Kohli had been Test captain for just over 7 years, two of them in a pandemic. There are a few potential candidates to replace him. He's got some time left just as a player, and his own personal form hasn't been quite at the high standards that he has set himself. And there's been an awful lot of some of the talk that can get overwhelming in Indian cricket had started to crank up again, when actually it had been largely absent for most of his his tenure because the BCCI didn't really have powerful figures in its own ranks. It didn't even have official office holders for large parts of his captaincy tenure. And doing it at the end of the series, but the start of another year in a sense, where there's still plenty of time in this World Test Championship cycle. It felt like Virat Kohli wanted to kind of refresh his own career a little bit. So it's always a surprise in the sense that it hadn't been widely leaked and it hadn't been particularly discussed. There isn't a ready-made... Well, there are lots of potential successors. There's no confirmed successor yet, as often happens. There wasn't a smooth transfer of power in that sense. But 7 years at the head of a test team, of any test team, particularly one with all of the external pressures of India, is a pretty good stint.
Yeah, it certainly is. We'll get onto his legacy and some of the successes in a bit. What I'm interested in, and Max sort of prompted this question a little bit, sometimes, as an outsider looking in, the top of Indian cricket, the leadership positions in Indian cricket can change around a little bit like a series of Game of Thrones. People come and go, people rise and fall. And Max basically asked, did he jump before he was pushed? Had the era of Virat Kohli and his power and his dominance over some of those power structures, had that ebbed away? Or are you of the opinion, as you sort of articulated a little bit there, that actually maybe this was, as he said, a personal decision, and the burdens of captaincy over 7 years, two of which are in a bubble, may have been a bigger factor?
I think that is the bigger factor. I suspect that I'm one of very few who holds that opinion, if my Twitter timeline and some of the pieces around the retirement have been anything to go by, because that, while I don't subscribe to it, it is important to state that he jumped before he was pushed by Sourav Ganguly or Jay Shah or whoever at the BCCI has become a very prevalent view. And there was a piece even on the BBC written by one of Wisden's India editors that Virat Kohli had been cornered in and had no other choice. I'm not sure that Virat Kohli is going to let himself be dictated to in any meaningful way by the BCCI president, in certainly not in the sense of doing anything that he didn't want to do. Who knows whether it accelerated a decision he was already going to make. But I think that the presidency of Sourav Ganguly is largely bluster and has been from the start. You can read this when you start talking about the internal politics of the BCCI. It doesn't somehow so much sound like Game of Thrones as sort of conspiracy theories and tinfoil hattery, but it is well established that Sourav Ganguly from the outset was put in place by those close to Srinivasan, N. Srinivasan, the ex BCCI president and briefly president of the ICC before his downfall. He had wanted to stand again, but that wasn't going to happen. He wanted to put forward another candidate. Initially, that didn't happen, and then Sourav Ganguly emerges as a compromise candidate. It's very similar to, there are some specials of The Thick of It in between season 2 and 3, where called Spinners and Losers. One of them's called, and it's about this sort of the backdoor machinations of how a prime minister that nobody particularly expected comes into play. Or yes, minister, if you prefer your British political satire a bit less sweary. And that a lot of that was going on. And before he's appointed, he comes out with all this bluster about, you know, re-establishing India's primacy and re-establishing India's dominance over the ICC. And he's put forward a lot of stuff, a lot of which hasn't happened, frankly, in terms of another tournament, in terms of getting an extra share of the revenue. And he is a very useful front person for kind of the old guard of Indian cricket, but he doesn't actually have as much power as he would like to project. And one thing that Virat Kohli has shown himself to be is very secure in his own judgment over the last few years, increasingly so actually. In the very sort of angry image of him that you see on field is increasingly not reflected in his off-field decision making and his off-field demeanor. I suspect that he had been thinking about this a little bit, that he had decided that this was a good time to go anyway, that he had taken perhaps the team as far as he could, and he's taken it a very, very long way. Not solely, but he's been at the helm through the most successful period in India's men's test history. And I think that, frankly, to paint this as some sort of Ganguly, Jay Shah is the secretary of the BCCI and is very closely connected to the Modi regime and is an overtly political figure. His father is the Home Minister of India and is a close Narendra Modi ally. I think to paint it as a victory for those two is frankly taking away a lot of Virat Kohli's agency, and I think that is a shame. And I think too many people have been willing to buy that narrative without really examining it too closely.
Can I ask a really simple question here? You talk about Jay Shah, you talk about Ganguly. Why would they not want Kohli to stay on? You also talked about how Virat Kohli is probably by a distance India's most successful test captain ever, has really established them as the team to beat consistently over the last 4 years. Why would you not want such a competent, strong, and effective leader to remain in place?
The theories that have been put around is precisely because he's a strong, particularly the strong leader. The theory goes that he's not easily bossed around, that he will very much do his own thing, that with a new coach coming in who is not as confrontational and bombastic as Ravi Shastri was, with his own form, not by any means awful, but not at the stellar heights that it was, he's not as untouchable perhaps as he once was, and that there is a desire from administrative level to present themselves as the people running Indian cricket rather than Virat Kohli as the person who's running Indian cricket, which to a large extent he was, at least in terms of the public perception through most of his captaincy tenure. Remember that before Sourav Ganguly's election, the BCCI didn't have any permanent office holders for a long time. It had a Supreme Court appointed panel who were some respected figures, but were not particularly well known publicly outside of people who go really inside baseball or inside cricket administration, as it were, on you know, who's in charge and all of this stuff. Virat Kohli, obviously, as a very charismatic and successful figure, became the face and everything of Indian cricket, kind of in a seamless way from MS Dhoni, who had been that for a very long time. So the theory goes, and there may be some credence to this, and maybe this may explain why this narrative has become so dominant so quickly. There may be some personal power politicking going on, but I do not personally subscribe to, nor do I particularly wish to subscribe to, the view that the administrators are quite so all-powerful and quite so able to pull all of the strings all of the time as they would have us and the public and world cricket believe. It may, and I am indebted to Anindya Dutta, guerrilla cricket colleagues of ours and author and writer, that Virat Kohli may have reached a point where he didn't want to put up with their nonsense any longer and didn't want to be the person putting up with their nonsense any longer, which may be the case. I suspect we'll never know, because Virat Kohli doesn't strike me as the type to write to feel the need to write a tell-all autobiography at some point.
Potentially.
I mean, he seems far too secure in himself to bother with any of that nonsense. So we may never know the full story on that, but you couldn't necessarily blame him for wanting to be done with all of that stuff as well as playing. But I prefer to ascribe more agency to him than has been ascribed in most of the public dissection of his resignation.
Now that he is done, now I guess there are two questions or two immediate questions that don't relate to the captaincy position, and I suppose taking a wider view, relate more to where he sits within the history of Indian cricket and within the history of the game. So first of all, will India, do you think, miss him as a leader in Test cricket? And secondly, what do you think his legacy will be as captain of that team over the last 7 years?
I mean, yes, they will, although this is a difficult one to judge. They will miss a captain of his quality and his ability and his soundness in his own judgment. But the team is in a different place now than when he took over. So the different captains, maybe a different captain now will be more successful with building on the work that he's done, not having to establish so much of it from first principles as he was having to do, when frankly the structures are in place to such an extent that the sort of great man theory of captaincy doesn't need to apply quite so much as it did when he took over, when there was a need for some energy to be brought into the Indian Test team. And you hear these words about Virat Kohli all the time, energy and intensity, and a lot of it is a substitute for actual analysis. But there's no doubt that he renewed India's focus on Test cricket, and he coincided with and influenced in some way that is clearly present but difficult to quantify the rise of the fast bowling attack, which gave him so many extra weapons that, frankly, no India Test captain had ever had before. Attacks that could take 20 wickets in all conditions. The five-bowler strategy, which is something he was a big fan of, helped in that. Some more, in large part, more neutral pitches, very much not the pitches that we saw when England toured early last year, but neutral pitches that could keep the fast bowlers in the game. From 2016 to 2020, the Indian fast bowlers and Indian spinners took more or less the same number of wickets in home tests, with the fast bowlers doing it at a slightly better average. So there's no doubt he had more tools to work with, and he had structures that were being able to bring through new players ready to come into the team. You had this pathway, partly established by Rahul Dravid, the now Indian head coach, of the Ranji Trophy, of the under-19s feeding into the Ranji Trophy, feeding into the A team, which meant that when players came in to a spot, they had done so by battering down the door with inarguable performances, largely, and were ready to succeed in Test cricket, which meant that even though Virat Kohli was a pretty trigger-happy captain selector for the first half of his Test captaincy, whoever came in would perform. And now, actually, India have become very, very settled as a result of some of the work that was done under his tenure. His legacy will be as the captain who brought through fast bowlers as a significant and sustained force in Indian men's Test cricket, and as the captain who made India start winning away consistently, to the point that losing 2-1 in a very close fought series to South Africa was seen as a disappointment. India were seen as favourites going into that series, which I don't think they've ever been going into a series in South Africa, not even in 2018, when it was seen as that Johannesburg win at the end of the 2018 series was seen as you know, the start of something, the start of a potential period of dominance. You know, that was seen as a turning point. The loss just recently, when, you know, a more sober analysis says that it was a very close series decided on very fine margins and a couple of outstanding performances from South Africa, you know, it's been painted as some sort of failure for India. And that's, I think, again, probably looked at from a greater distance. Virat Kohli will probably see that as some kind of achievement. And it's very possible to see that as an achievement, that he's reframed the paradigm of what India are capable of away from home. And he will be viewed as a transformative captain. Probably a lot of stuff that he was only tangentially part of will be ascribed to him. Probably a lot of the stuff he actually did will be forgotten about, or because no one will ever say anything, because, you know, the days of players writing tell-all autobiographies or needing to is largely done. And so we'll be relying on little tidbits here and there, or you know, a captain has this selection or goes and says this to this player or has this conversation with the analyst. And who knows however much that actually plays a factor, but he was always looking to try and win games rather than save them. He was always picking his teams in that way. He always backed up his players in public. He pushed the agenda of Indian players being fitter and more aggressive in their cricket, not aggressive necessarily in their body language in the same way of you know, that was sometimes ascribed to Sourav Ganguly, or that has been talked about with some of the less successful Australian teams, but in a sense that when India were on top, they were all over you. I was there on the last day at Lord's, and you know, we didn't know at the time in the stands what he had said, but there was an almost visible intensity to everything that was happening, and they suffocated England. And the same thing happened at the Oval. Even in his absence, the system was able to carry on, and that ability to be always looking to win games was seen when Ajinkya Rahane took over in Australia on the most recent victory. And creating a system that can survive you is a pretty good mark of leadership. So he will be, you know, I think possibly a while ago, but certainly through the last couple of years, he is India's greatest ever men's test captain, and I don't think it's that close.
Yeah, I'd 100% agree with that. I think the intensity, or I think the ability really for India, or that India have now, to win away from home and to win in conditions that previously seen as very challenging, is that transformation. And I think that will be the legacy as much as anything else, regardless of the fact that he, you know, didn't win an ICC trophy and all of that nonsense. I mean, a lot of those are sort of one-off matches that
and in white ball cricket, as a captain, he'll be remembered as a good captain. MS Dhoni will take the edge because of the ICC trophy wins, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. And there was a little bit of some of the probably the biggest sort of tactical change that India made over the period that Virat Kohli was one day international captain, of the move from finger spin to wrist spin, didn't quite work and ended up being slightly reversed. But India were a very successful limited overs team under him, and slowly became a more aggressive one as well with the bat, from a very sort of steady as she goes, tick, 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 late boom approach. That was starting to change under him as white ball captain. And I'm sure that will increase as well. But, you know, taken in totality, I don't think there are too many. I think really only MS Dhoni, Ajit Vardekar briefly in Test cricket for his wins in West Indies and England in 1971. Kapil Dev obviously will always be remembered for the World Cup win. The Nawab of Pataudi for various sort of leadership intangibles, which are talked about a lot. I mean, I can't really judge any more than the reports I've heard. And you know, Sourav Ganguly in the mix somewhere, but not. I think a lot of his legacy has been, a lot of Sourav Ganguly's legacy is a little ill deserved, or not as it wasn't as good as people remember it. I think, and a lot of Kohli and Dhoni, India have been blessed with two genuinely great captains, and I think Kohli is the greater.
Yeah, the question that everyone will be asking now that he's gone, which makes him sound like he's dead. He's not dead. He was playing today. He got 50. Is where India go next? It looked. Well, I mean, like in white ball cricket, Rohit Sharma has taken on the mantle, so he is definitely a front runner. Rishabh Pant, as the kind of project captain, has captivated or captured some people's imagination. Jasprit Bumrah looked like he, or sounded like he was on manoeuvres this week when he said he'd be honoured to take on the role. Is there a front runner, do you think, at this point in time?
The popular front runner, as far as I can tell, is Rohit Sharma. Because he's been vice captain, and because he's captain in all formats, he is 2 years older than Virat Kohli, so it would be a more short term option. Maybe not, you know, maybe 2-3 years. I mean, he's a specialist batter, and he's possibly playing now certainly in Test cricket, he's playing as well as he ever has done. His white ball ceiling is ridiculously high, so maybe not there quite so much. And maybe he goes through the next tournament cycle, and then somebody else takes over. KL Rahul as the slightly younger option, and as a perhaps a more temperamentally similar captain to Rahul Dravid, the coach, someone who's seen as very analytical, someone who's firmly established in his place in all formats. Rishabh Pant, actually, of those, is the captain with the most Red Bull captaincy experience. When he was 18, he captained Delhi to the Ranji Trophy final, when he was really still establishing himself as a player. He's done quite well with the Delhi Capitals, who, you know, Test captaincy and T20 captaincy are very, very different beasts. I would not be surprised if Rishabh Pant ends up as vice-captain to whoever takes it on. Jasprit Bumrah was an interesting one. I mean, he's got no captaincy experience, but he's obviously a very clever bowler, and he is somebody who's grown increasingly in confidence. I would be interested to see that. If it were up to me, which it very much isn't, I would go with KL Rahul captain and Rishabh Pant as vice-captain, if only because I think a longer-term option might be the better way to go. And Rohit Sharma does have an injury record, which means that he might not be around all the time. And so you may end up with a lot of some games where he has to be a stopgap. And if he ends up as Test captain, presumably that means he wouldn't play as much limited overs cricket, thus making his appointment as limited overs captain with two World Cups in the different formats within 6 months a little bit of an odd one. The consensus from people, quote unquote, in the know hasn't really settled down yet. So probably most people in the opinion poll would say Rohit Sharma. I wouldn't be terribly surprised. I personally would go with KL Rahul with Rishabh Pant as his deputy.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, King Legend, I'm sure he'd like that appointment. We have got a couple of questions on Twitter, but really briefly, I'd like to touch on the white ball series that India are playing now. In fact, they lost today to South Africa. Rassie van der Dussen with the century. Sometimes I see these bilateral series, Nakul, and I do think, what is the point? Is there a point to this cricket, and what joy should I be taking from it?
Rassie van der Dussen played a beautiful innings today, as in a more supportive capacity did Themba Bavuma. Van der Dussen's late acceleration was really, really impressive, and their partnership when South Africa were in a bit of a hole was a lot of fun. These one-day internationals are not part of the ODI Super League, thus robbing them of even more context. But you know, we're about a year out from the next one-day international World Cup, so there are selection issues to potentially work out, or tactical issues to work out. A lot was made of with Rohit Sharma injured for this series, KL Rahul opening rather than being in the middle order, Rutaraj Gaikwad not being given a chance, which I would have liked to have seen him given a chance for the whole series. If the plan is Rahul in the middle order and Rohit the plus one, Shikhar Dhawan batted really well today. I don't know how much more you need to know about Shikhar Dhawan. You know that you can slot him in at any point if there's an injury or some availability crisis, and he'll do fine and he'll do well. He's pretty self-starting in that sense. I would have liked to have seen Rutaraj Gaikwad given a go. Venkatesh Iyer on one international debut, kind of auditioning to replace Hardik Pandya, who's been injury prone and lacking form, didn't actually get a bowl and didn't score any runs, but it's his first game. South Africa, I think there's a more interesting... They went with Aidan Markram to bowl five overs up top, delaying the introduction of Lungi Ngidi. And I think possibly Ngidi and Andile Pekhlekwayo bowled really well in the middle overs, broke a stand when Virat Kohli and Shikhar Dhawan had looked like they were cruising it. Shreyas Iyer and Rishabh Pant were batting quite well, but Ngidi and Andile Pekhlekwayo bowled extremely well through the middle, and I wonder if that might be, with Khaisa Rabada arrested for this series, Anik Nokia injured, I wonder if the plan might be to use Ngidi as kind of like Liam Plunkett or Hassan Ali, kind of a middle overs enforcer with Rabada and Nokia top and tailing, with Tabrez Shamsi in the middle as well. So be interested to see if that does develop, and if that is a tactical plan that they're going to go to, even though it looked a bit weird that Aidan Markram was bowling the first five overs. He did take a wicket. He got KL Rahul out, and it kind of worked, but it could easily have gone wrong. So there's little bits of kind of casting ahead, potentially. The game was... South Africa played pretty well. They batted quite well. I thought they'd left a few out there, but they kept taking wickets in the middle overs to leave India a long way short, and it was only that close because of Shardul Thakur smashing his first one-day international 50. You can draw more lessons from the series as a whole if you're looking for sort of tactical trends, which I think is the main thing to be looking for. But, you know, Pal looked like a lovely place to watch cricket, and I'm sure it was a nice day out for the broadcasters and the players.
Good wine there as well, apparently. Two questions from Twitter, really briefly. So if we can get through these in a minute or so, that'd be great. Europa asks or says, Cody's performance is good. Making hundreds isn't everything. I read somewhere 550s in his last six ODIs. What do you guys think the reason is for him not scoring tons? Is it everything happening around him? I think there's a couple of things going on here. One, it's a long time since the last century, but in that time there has been a pandemic, which knocked out some matches. Also, India went on this, or have been on a run in Test cricket anyway, of playing on some pretty average surfaces going back to the beginning of 2021. The three of the four pitches for the England series weren't fantastic. Then four tests in England, or five tests in England, including the World Test Championship series, is always going to be pretty tough, even if you are Virat Kohli. I mean, it's many you know players come to England and have poor series, and then he's gone to South Africa, played two tests there, again on some pretty dubious surfaces. 250 was a pretty good score across that series. So there's a little bit of noise in there. There's probably a little bit of a decline, but he's pretty decent. And
I think,
hundreds aren't everything.
I think some of it is statistical. Not all of it is statistical noise, because that being kind of flashing at balls very, very wide outside off stump thing has re-emerged. Although he did make a technical change during the South Africa series to try and sort that, and it did look like it was working for a while. His innings in the third test was a beauty in the first innings, and he batted in a very disciplined manner in the second. And he's scored some absolutely lovely some lovely 50s, which sounds a ridiculous thing to say, but he's batted at times as well as he ever has. His 70 odd in the first innings at Adelaide, before he got run out by Ajinkya Rahane, was an absolute ripper of an innings. He looked like he was going to bat all day in that innings. He batted extremely well in Chennai in the first Test match against England. A couple of very good knocks in the World Test Championship final and in the England series. And I was looking at the numbers today, that his rate of 50s per innings, or innings per 50, has barely changed up until that 100 and since then. So not all of it is statistical noise. Some of it is statistical noise. And the longer it goes on, obviously the bigger it becomes a thing. Although he seems to be batting with some freedom. And
yeah,
someone's going to get it at some point fairly soon.
Absolutely. And to finish this off, FPL Barat says, how long will Kohli to continue to play? It would be odd for Kohli to continue with the same passion if the captain is more passive in nature. And is it even possible for him to be a quiet bystander in the team? Well, I don't think he's going to be a quiet bystander. I think he'll be, pretty involved. I mean, when Dhoni stepped down, he was still used as a font of knowledge by Kohli himself. And I would imagine Kohli will play that role for the next guy, whoever that is. How long do you see him continuing to play, though, Knuckle?
Leaving the captaincy could end up prolonging his career by a couple of years. He's 33 and he's a specialist batter who doesn't have any significant fitness issues. You know, we could easily get another 4 years out of Virat Kohli. We've seen batters go on into their late 30s, even their early 40s, and I'm not saying he will go on for that long, because he's a very he's a very physically intense fielder, so there might be a little bit of damage that goes on there, but he keeps himself in phenomenal shape. There's no reason why we couldn't see another 4 years of Virat Kohli, and potentially he could have a late career flowering, like say Kumar Sangakkara did, who had a phenomenal last few years of his Test career, or Tendulkar in 2010, just before the end of his Test career. I think that in terms of his passion, as it were, I think if he ever got to the point where he wasn't interested in playing, he'd stop playing. I don't think that he would want to do anything on the cricket field, anything less than 100% or 120%, to use his inflationary language that he used in his resignation statement. And yeah, you'd have to be an idiot not to use him, or, you know, let's say KL Rahul takes over as captain. You'd have to be pretty stupid not to go to Rohit Sharma or not to go to Virat Kohli with some ideas. Whether that's on the field, whether that's off the field, whether it's an informal capacity. Like MS Dhoni, when he was, you know, used to captain bowlers through spells, sometimes when he was behind the stumps. I mean, we won't always see as much of it. And this is the thing, you know, the Kohli cam that was a feature of every game that he played in, was good in some games when he wasn't captain, was a significant feature. You know, I don't know that KL Rahul or Rohit Sharma are as demonstrative to the point that, or as they don't quite have that level of status that a TV director will be filming their every move, and so we'll get we won't get that level of visibility that we saw with Virat Kohli. You know, it probably looked like he was a lot more active than he actually was compared to most captains, because we just saw it all the time. I'm sure he'll be loud and vocal, and he'll give his advice when it's asked for. And like every team with senior players, he'll be part of a leadership group. We don't know who the next captain is, so it's hard to make a judgment on their leadership style. But anyone's going to look quiet next to Virat Kohli's on-field presence. So I think a lot of people are worrying about things that haven't happened yet.
Great. We're going to wrap up the Kohli cast now. Thank you very much for coming on, Nakul. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. We are on Twitter and Instagram at The Cricket Pod. And you can head over to our Patreon if you like the show and you want to support us. Patreon.com/The Cricket Pod for bonus shows, Q&As, and access to our Discord, among other things. Cheerio, everyone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.